Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Fortcast. I am your host, Dr. Michael Anderson, ear, nose, and throat doc, and president and CEO of Ford Healthcare. I'm very excited for our topic today as we're going to talk about economic development in Jefferson County and specifically housing development in Jefferson County. And it is wonderful to have our guest today. We have the president of Thrive Economic Development, Deb Reinbold, with us today. Thank you, Deb, for joining us on this episode of the Fortcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's our pleasure. Trust me. So our listeners know that I've been part of Ford Healthcare for over 20 years. You know, I start to count my time in decades now, but let's not get into that, Deb. That's not what we're talking about today. But I would just love to hear a little bit about your background, how you got into running Thrive, and then maybe a little bit about how Thrive was founded too.
Sure. So I've been actually with Jefferson County for about the last 4 years. Two of them I've been leading the organization. And it's important to note that Thrive Economic Development is a public-private partnership. And so all of our team here are actually employees of Jefferson County, but we're supported by the private sector as well. And that's our 501c3 in Thrive Economic Development. And I'm thrilled to say that Fort Healthcare has been a member of Thrive, I think, since its inception. And we're lucky enough to have Jim Nelson on our board, and you guys have just been really great partners. But for those of you who don't know what economic development is, maybe that's something that's helpful as well. So traditional economic development is business retention, expansion, and attraction. And about 2 years ago, actually, it was during the transition into my role, our board came together and we had about 16 people from our two boards come together and said, you know, it's not just supporting businesses in that way. It's also, let's look at housing and let's look at workforce. And then in addition, trust and partnerships, because we really can't do it alone. And it's really important to work with others in order to make Jefferson County as good as it can be.
Yeah, no, and that's a wonderful synopsis. You know, we at Ford Healthcare, we've always supported Thrive and economic development. We really see the benefits of that in the future for our community. And one thing you highlighted there, Deb, is nobody can do economic development themselves. You do have to create those community partnerships with hospitals or banks or community foundations. There are a lot of partnerships that are involved in economic development. So tell us a little bit about what makes you excited with that.
Oh my goodness. This is such an exciting time for Jefferson County. So economic development, I used to work for economic development in Washington County, and I was there for about 6 years, got the opportunity to join Thrive, like I said, about 4 years ago. And we are in the perfect area within the state for growth. And as the county updated their strategic plan last fall, one of the things that they said is we're looking for two of the four different strategies that they're looking at are housed within our department. And one of them is intentional economic growth. We want to make sure that we aren't just developing just to develop, but then also housing. And housing was actually the number one strat objective from the county supervisors.
Yeah. And let's dive into that, because we know that Jefferson County has had some massive wins on the business side of economic development. And of course, to support those businesses, we need housing for employees and future employees. And we face that also at Ford Healthcare. So tell us a little bit about what I'm going to call the housing shortage of Jefferson County. Can you give us some insight into just how big of a priority is it, Deb?
So let me go back just a little bit further, because, you know, you're talking about some of the really good wins and we're excited to see this investment here within Jefferson County. But I remember right around when I first started at Jefferson County, some of our area employers, including Jones, had reached out and said, you know, we're really struggling because we're hiring people and they just can't find a place to live. And so that's when we started with what we called the Heartland Housing Initiative, and that we got a grant through WEDC, which is Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. So we got a grant from them, Greater Watertown Community Health Foundation, and then Dodge and Jefferson Counties all went together and created this fund that all of our communities were eligible to apply towards to work with an engineering team in order to support whatever needs they had for housing. And as a result of that, we worked with Tracy Cross and Associates, which is a company that does market studies. And they worked with a number of our communities. And based on their interaction and their studies, they were able to identify that if we were to build between 3,500 and 5,250 market rate housing units, they would be fully absorbed in 3 years. And so there's just such a huge need for housing, and that's just exacerbated by the increasing development. Some other notes that I have here, I just want to give a little bit of perspective, and I'm going to go to my notes only because I want to make sure that the numbers are correct. But what we found is average household size for all housing types in 2012 was 2.38 people, and in 2022, it's down to 2.18. The number of housing units increased from 4.69% from 2012 to 2022, but it's short nearly 10% of the growth in households over the same period, which means that we just don't have enough units. And then in 2022, the vacancy rate for owner-occupied homes was 0.4%. And for rentals, it was 3.2%. A healthy housing market is 6%. In addition to all of that, our housing stock is also aging. So if we look at houses that were built before 1980, almost 60% of all of our housing was built before 1980, which means that it's over 44 years old. And 24.5% of that was before 1940.
Well, I think that really does highlight the need for housing. And I just want to go back to one of the stats that you mentioned. So if I were to snap my fingers and we were able to create 3,500 to 5,200 market rate housing units, those units would all be occupied within 3 years due to the pent up demand in our county. Is that accurate?
That's what they shared with us. I went to the group and I said, can you tell me what our deficit is? And they said, that's not how we report things. And so, yeah, that's how they put it.
So you challenged them to look at it differently.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that is so important to continue to look at it differently, to try to strategize. So Deb, moving on, now that we've identified this need for housing in our area, and we share this is a county issue. It is, but it is also an issue here at Ford Healthcare. Like we feel we need our employees to have places to live. We want our employees to live close. We need the housing to support our employees to work here at Ford Healthcare. So this is a near and dear issue to us too. I understand you've created a fund recently, and we're both smiling because this is a wonderful fund. Tell us a little bit about the fund that was recently created, Deb.
Sure. So we created what we call the Live Local Development Fund. And the reason for that is because developers, when they're looking to invest in development, they are looking for something that'll cash flow. They want to make sure that their investors' investment is safe and secure. And so when they're looking at areas to develop, they could go to Dane County, they could go to Waukesha County or to Milwaukee County. And the rents that they're able to get there are so much higher that if they were to come here, it would be really difficult to make it cash flow because the cost to construct is similar basically wherever they're building in southern Wisconsin. And that rent rate really is key in trying to make it pro forma cash flow. And so we have been working, my goodness, I think we started talking about 2 years ago with a group out of Madison called Hope Community Capital. And we were trying to explore different options on how we could help to support housing development here. And this is where we landed, is this Live Local Development Fund that allows us to lend developers money. And this is a below market rate loan, but it is a loan that they would pay back for us. What we're looking for, we're targeting for them to pay it back after stabilization. And so what that means is the construction period, once they've got it constructed and then after it's occupied, that's when they would pay that back. So then we can go through and lend that money out again. And right now we're targeting multifamily just because of the sheer need for the number of units. And then eventually we'll transition that into other types of housing, potentially into single family housing as well.
So a lot to unpack there.
I know, a lot of details.
Just to summarize, because I want to make sure I understand this too. So you've created a fund that is attractive to developers because they can borrow money at a lower interest rate. So they have a higher probability to cash flow on their developments, and that's highly attractive to the developers and will lure them from other counties such as Waukesha or Milwaukee or even Dane County. Is that accurate?
I think luring is kind of a cool word, but it probably less about luring and more about actually making it feasible. Because
Gotcha. If
we didn't have this included in their capital stack, it wouldn't be feasible.
It wouldn't be feasible.
Correct.
Because of the rents. So if you have a developer that builds an apartment complex and let's say they build it in an area where they can get 50% more rent than another area, they're going to build it in a place that they can get the higher rents.
Absolutely. Again, yep. Construction costs are increasing. Interest rates are increasing. I know that our land cost here is a little bit less than it is in other areas, but that's not enough to offset the difference.
Right, right. Well, this fund, so Ford Healthcare is invested in this fund. We've invested $3 million into this fund. So we're very, very excited about that. So before I get into the why Ford Healthcare did that, Deb, what is the fund up to recently? How many million are in there?
So we are extremely grateful that Ford Healthcare has invested, as you said, $3 million into the fund. Last week, we also got confirmation Ford Community Healthcare is investing $1 million into the fund, but our founding investors include Greater Watertown Community Health Foundation, who invested $2 million. Jefferson County took $1 million of ARPA funds and then $1 million from the sale of the Kikeman property. And then Exonia Bank has invested $1.5 million in this fund. And so we currently are at $9.5 million that are available.
Well, that is absolutely wonderful. You know, we really believe in this for a lot of reasons, but the main reason is Ford Healthcare is independent and community-based. And anything that we can do to invest in our community, we are interested in that. We know that health, our patients and our community's health and their health outcome extends far beyond just what we do under the roofs of our clinics or our hospitals or our operating rooms. It extends into the community. Investing in housing is one of those ways that we can help health outcomes upstream by creating a safe place for families to live, by investing in the infrastructure. And it's been shown that when you address these other, what we call determinants of health, so the things that happen beyond your face-to-face encounter with a healthcare professional, when you invest in those other drivers of health, health outcomes improve. Economic development is a massive piece of improving population-based health outcomes. And that is why we feel so strongly about this. That's why Ford Healthcare said, hey, we want to be part of this. This is exciting. This is supportive of our community. And that is why we ultimately decided to invest $3 million into this housing fund. So, Deb, I can't tell you how thankful we are that you, your team, the county, all the partners that are involved in this, this is a very exciting time for Jefferson County development.
Absolutely. And kind of tagging off of what you just said, one thing that's really exciting for us is this will allow options for people. Right now, you've got people who've been living in their homes. They probably raised their families there. They don't have another option. They don't want to leave their community because that's where they have all of their network is all there, right? Their support system. And so if they've got an option to move someplace, they might be in their home and not have the ability to take care of that property anymore. And this came out in a conversation that I think you and I had where you were saying, you know what, maybe they can't keep up their home. And so they can't clean their kitchen. They can't keep up with whatever around their home and they're embarrassed to have people come in. And then that network isn't around them. And if they have an option to go into an apartment, for instance, that ultimately will give them a better lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well said. You know, I know we've kind of started the process of looking at even senior housing development as well. And part of that process is freeing up those other homes for new buyers and getting that market rate home that people can afford with today's interest rates and the economics of buying a home today, which can be very taxing for a lot of younger couples. But I really feel, Deb, that economic development in Jefferson County, you have moved the needle. You've done it on the business side. You're doing it on the housing side. It is very exciting to be part of Thrive Economic Development. I mean, you really got to feel really good about this.
Absolutely. I mean, as I said, there's a lot of opportunity here. We just want to make sure we do it in the right way. And it's exciting to see that we're moving both the business growth as well as the housing growth kind of in tandem because they really do play off of each other.
You bet they do. And, you know, we see examples on it on our own with our own employees where they struggle to find housing. And you're at risk of losing these really, really, as a business, you're really, really at risk of losing these employees if you can't help them find a place to live. It's a big problem. Like you said, you already gave us the stats. Well, Deb, I can't thank you enough for being on this episode of the Fortcast. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much again for inviting me. It's always a pleasure.
Well, and I hope we can have a future episode too. I think there's a lot more to unpack on this. I think we're just getting started. So I hope you'd be up for that.
Absolutely. Whenever. Just give me a call.
Okay. Thank you. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of the Fortcast. Please check out our full podcast library on our website. And if you enjoyed this episode, please tag it to your social channels. Once again, this is Dr. Michael Anderson. I'm signing off on this episode of the Fortcast. Thank you and take care. So long.